You know, it's really sad, but most Christians have a non-Christian worldview. In other words, we have faith in Jesus, but we live in ways that never require us to use that faith. We base our lives on what we've learned from the world, not from what we've learned from the Word. Consider this. In a national survey, 62% of Americans said they are, quote, deeply spiritual, end quote. And yet when you ask people how that spirituality affects their decision-making, 31% said they make moral choices based on what's right and comfortable. 18% said they base their moral choices on whatever's best for me. And 14% said, I base my moral choices on whatever causes the least conflict with others. Well, that's not a Christian worldview. Only 16% of the people who said they were deeply spiritual said, I base my moral choices on what God's Word says. If you want to have uncommon courage, you've got to start living life according to God's Word. So let's get started, and let's learn from God's Word how we can have the courage we need to live for Jesus.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Uncommon Courage. This is part two of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth, based on various portions of Scripture. But just before today's message, you know there's a lot of confusion over who Jesus really is. Christians say he's God's Son and our Savior. Others say he's merely a great teacher, a symbol of goodness, or a philosopher. And it's because of this confusion that Pastor Rick asked us to send you his new DVD and study guide called Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You. Now, inside this study kit, you'll discover a loving, caring, and personal Savior whose teachings will transform your life from the inside out. You can do this study alone or invite some friends over and watch it together as a small group. During the 6 teaching sessions, you'll learn practical steps to loving God and others, overcoming temptation, dealing with suffering, handling persecution, and more. The DVD also includes clips from the new worldwide film release, Son of God, that bring Rick's amazing study to life. We'd love to send it to you today as our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry. Now, whether you're just getting to know Jesus or you're ready to take your faith to a deeper level, the Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You study kit is right for you. So call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Now the Bible says this in Proverbs 21. Solomon wrote this. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He's also the wealthiest man who ever lived. And he concluded, "Are you addicted to thrills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied." Why? Because for the hedonist, like for the materialist, there's never enough. You ask a person, how much money do you need to be happy? Just a little bit more. How many pleasures, how many thrills do you have to be happy? Just a little bit more. Why? Because pleasure doesn't last. No thrill lasts. No happiness lasts. No emotion lasts. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't last. The Bible says Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Circle the phrase pleasures of sin and circle short time. The thing I love about the Bible is it always tells the truth. It's honest. And the Bible says sin is fun. Notice it says pleasure of sin. Sin is pleasurable. If sin wasn't fun, nobody'd do it. Okay? Even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Is it fun to eat things that are bad for you? Yes. Absolutely. Okay? Is it fun to stay up really late, even though you got to get up early the next morning, you're going to be dead? Yes. There's a lot of things in life that aren't good for you, and they're a whole lot of fun. Or they're a whole lot pleasurable. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it says, notice, it doesn't last. It's for a short time. And with every kick, there's a kickback. Get high, then there's a low. You can get drunk, but then there's the hangover. There's always a payoff. And the cost of sin is far greater than the pleasure of sin. Sin is fun, there's no doubt about it. But the cost of it could be your own soul. And the cost of it could be a broken body, a broken mind, a broken heart, a broken relationship. There's always a cost to sin. Galatians 6:8 says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires, that's hedonism, will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In Exodus 23, verse 2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. But girls just want to have fun. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having fun. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. It may be fun, but it might not be right. Now, there's a third anti-Christian worldview, and it is individualism. Materialism, hedonism, individualism. And individualism says, what I want comes first. Materialism says money is God. Hedonism says happiness is God. Individualism says, I'm God. And it really doesn't matter what happens to you. This is a dog-eat-dog world. I got to look out for number one. I'm number one. And it is a me-first mentality. What I want comes first. It is a self-centered lifestyle. America was built on rugged individualism. I do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody can tell me not to do it. And today that has evolved into the culture of narcissism. Maybe you haven't realized this, but every advertisement ever created appeals to your self-centeredness. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. It's all about you. You're great. It's think of yourself. It's all about you. In fact, they're even naming products. Now, we now have the iPhone. And then I work on my iPad. And then I go to MySpace. And I post a video of me on YouTube. And who's the you? Me. It's a place to show off. We actually are creating tools that cultivate our narcissism, that it's all about you. I saw a Mountain Dew ad the other day, and it said, obey your thirst. Hedonism. Most people don't realize that. That's flat out hedonism. Do whatever you have the urge to do. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. You must obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you richer, do it. If it's all about you, you do it. But here's the issue. God didn't create you to live for you. Oh, really? You think the creator of the universe thought you up so you could live a little self-centered, selfish, egotistic clod of a life that it's all about me? I don't think so. You were made for something far, far bigger than yourself. If you just live for yourself, why even get out of bed in the morning? Just mail it in. Really? Okay? I mean, just stay in bed under the covers and pull up the sheets because it's all about you. That's why when I wrote Purpose Driven Life, and the opening sentence was, it's not about you. That is the most counterculture statement you can make today. Because everything in our culture says, are you kidding me? It's all about you. Everything is about you. Because the worldview of individualism, what I want comes first. And so if I'm married to you and you're hindering my career, bye-bye, sister. I got to do what I got to do. And if I've got an elderly parent to take care of, and my elderly parent is cramping my style, bye-bye, parent. I have no responsibility because it's all about me. And if I want to go through a series of one-night stands, too bad. It doesn't matter if it breaks your heart. It's all about me. That is individualism at its height. Now, the Bible says this, Christian worldview, Proverbs 18:1. It is selfish and it's stupid to think only of yourself. In fact, God sent Jesus Christ not just to save us from our sins, but also to model how to live. And in Philippians 2, it says this, each of you should look not only to your own interest, that's counterculture, but also to the interests of others. Most people aren't doing that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to put aside your selfish ambition. You got to deny yourself. What? Yeah, you got to deny yourself. What? In our society, that's two words you never hear, deny yourself. Actualize yourself, serve yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself, live for yourself. Nobody in our culture is saying what Jesus said, deny yourself. And yet Jesus taught us that God designed us for love, and love is not thinking of yourself. Love is giving yourself away. And Jesus said it is only in giving yourself away you'll ever know what it means to really, really live. Paul said, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about satisfying your own selfish desires. In fact, over and over in the Bible, God warns about me living a self-centered life. The Bible says this in Romans 2:8, for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth. In other words, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says do this, but I don't like that part. It crimps my style. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to be self-seeking and I'm going to reject the truth. I know God says to do this and I know God says don't do that, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. For those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called Standing Courageously for the Truth. It's part of our series called Uncommon Courage. There's more great teaching coming up, so stay with us.
In life, there's nothing more important than spending time getting to know Jesus. That's why Pastor Rick Warren wants us to send you his new DVD and study guide called Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You, as thanks for your support of this ministry. Inside this study kit, you'll discover a loving, caring, and personal Savior whose teachings will transform your life from the inside out. In the 6 small group sessions, you'll learn practical steps to overcoming temptation, dealing with suffering, handling persecution, and more. The DVD also includes scenes from the new film, Son of God, that will help to bring this amazing study to life.
Hello, I'm Mark Burnett.
And I'm Roma Downey, and we want to encourage you to get your copy of Pastor Rick Warren's fantastic new study kit, Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You. Mark and I believe it's the perfect Bible study companion to our new movie, Son of God, in theaters now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you.
If you're ready to step across the line into a life of faith, the Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You study kit is right for you. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
For those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Why? Why does it tick off God when I'm self-centered? Why does it make God mad when I live for myself? Well, because number one, he didn't make you for that reason. But the real reason God opposes self-centered living is because God is love. And the Bible says love is not selfish. God wants you to be a great lover, not a great self-centered person. And the Bible says love is not selfish. When I'm sitting on the couch relaxing, reading the paper and watching TV, and I see that Kay needs help, and I decide to keep quiet instead of helping her, that's called being selfish. At that moment, I am being unloving, because love is never selfish. When somebody asks for your help, you say, sorry, I don't have time to do it. Love is never selfish. Now, these worldviews, materialism, money is God, hedonism, happiness and pleasure is God, individualism, I'm God, I run my own life, I'm the master and commander of my faith, I don't need God, I'm in charge of my life. There's a fourth one. This one is the exact opposite of individualism. It's collectivism. It's called socialism. Socialism is an anti-Christian worldview that says government is God. It basically says government should control everything. That's socialism. The government should be in charge of everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with government. Government is a good thing. In fact, it was invented by God. God created 3 institutions. He created the institution of family, he created the institution of the church, and he created the institution of government. God is not an anarchist. Everything should be done decently and in order. There's nothing wrong with government. But here's what I've learned. People who don't know God make government God. Why? Because they don't have any higher authority to look to meet their needs, so they want the government to meet all their needs. They're not praying to God, so the highest thing they can think of to make the world a better place is not the church, it's not God, it's government. It's the thing that's supposed to make everything better. So they treat government like God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I have spoken at most of the major secular elite conferences on this planet. I have spoken 3 times at the World Economic Forum in Davos. I've spoken to the Aspen Ideas Institute. I've spoken at the TED Conference. I've spoken at the Entertainment Gathering. I've spoken to groups of elites in Manhattan and London and Europe. And what I've discovered when I'm around, sometimes I'm in a group that I'm the only person of faith in the group. And what I've discovered is this: politics is the religion of people who don't know God. And for them, they treat it as everything. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with politics. It's just not the Savior. And if you think any politician's going to be your Savior, you're going to be deeply disappointed, no matter who it is. But people, when I don't know God and I don't have a religion, I tend to make politics my religion. Political fanatics can be as stupid as religious fanatics. Anybody want to agree with that? Okay. And they both act silly. By the way, what is the purpose of government? I should write a book, The Purpose-Driven Government. All right. Now, the Bible says there are 3 purposes of government: protect freedom, ensure justice, preserve peace. Protect freedom, ensure justice, preserve peace. Now, if I don't have a God or anything bigger than government, then I want government to do everything else too. And the opposite of individualism is I know best is socialism, which says the government knows best and it will tell you what you need to do. It's the exact opposite of individualism, but they're both wrong. Now, Jesus explained the limited role of government. And he said, well, the role of government's a good role, but its role is not to be God. Matthew 22:21, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Now, what do I give Caesar? What do I give my government? I owe it my respect. I owe it my taxes. I need to keep the law. I can't just run through red lights because I don't like that red light. I got to keep the laws. Government's role is to protect and preserve freedom and order. And so I'm to be a good citizen. I'm to be a responsible citizen. And in America, the right to vote is the responsibility to vote. But it says you give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but you give to God what's God's. What's God's? What do you owe God? Your life. You don't owe government your life, but you do owe God your life because he gave it to you. And so he says government has a limit, but God owns it all. By the way, the Bible says give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Who's Caesar in a democracy? Because we don't have a king. We don't have a Caesar. We don't have a dictator. Who's Caesar in a democracy? The answer is you are. You are. The voters are Caesar. Because we, the people, in any democracy, determine the laws. The power in America does not reside with the judicial branch or the legislative branch or the executive branch. It resides with the people who put those people into office. So you're the Caesar. I just threw that little one in for free. Now, I said that a lot of Christians may be on their way to heaven, but they don't have a Christian worldview. Why? Because they don't realize that if you're a Christian, you have dual citizenship. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is where? In heaven. It says that twice in the Bible. So you have dual citizenship. I am a citizen of the United States, and I'm also a citizen of heaven. By the way, my greater loyalty is to God, not to government. And if there is a difference between God and government, there's no question which one I'm going to side with. Now, I'm a patriot. I would die for my country. I love America. But my greater allegiance is to God. And I have dual citizenship. Every Christian should be issued a green card to remind you that you have a divided loyalty. I often get a little worried when I hear people talk about this God and country talk as if they're like equal. God and country, like they're equal loyalties. They are not. It's not God and country equal. It's God's way up here. My country's down here. It's important, but it's nowhere near my commitment, my relationship, and my loyalty to God. If you ever see a bumper sticker that says, my country, right or wrong, that is an unchristian bumper sticker. I hope you wouldn't say that if you lived in Nazi Germany. The Christian attitude toward government is, my country, I'm going to make it the best I can. Because as a Christian, I'm responsible to make the best of everything around me. But it's not my country, right or wrong. That is making a country an idol. Now, there are many, many examples in the Bible of Christians running up against this worldview, and many examples where Christians had to choose God over government. The Jerusalem City Council tried to prevent the apostles from preaching and teaching the truth, and even speaking or even using the name Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. In fact, they said, you are forbidden to use the name Jesus in Jerusalem.
You've just heard Daily Hope with Rick Warren. You know, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment to share a final thought. But before that, you know, there's a lot of confusion over who Jesus really is. Christians say he's God's son and our Savior, and others say he's merely a great teacher, just a symbol of goodness or a philosopher. And it's because of this confusion that Pastor Rick really wants to send you his new DVD and study guide called Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You. Now, inside this study kit, you'll discover a loving, caring, and personal Savior whose teachings will transform your life from the inside out. Now, you can do this study alone or invite some friends over and watch it together as a small group. During the 6 teaching sessions, you'll learn practical steps to loving God and others, overcoming temptation, dealing with suffering, handling persecution, and much more. The DVD also includes clips from the new worldwide film release, Son of God, that bring Rick's amazing study to life. Now, we'd love to send it to you today as our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. So whether you're just getting to know Jesus or you're ready to take your faith to a deeper level, the Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You study kit is right for you. So call us today at 800-600-5004 or just visit rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Oh, and while you're at the website, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email. Click on his social media links and check out all the other great study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org, and thank you so much for supporting Daily Hope. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
It takes uncommon courage to stand up for the truth in today's world. But you can't even begin to stand up for truth until you decide once and for all who's going to be the authority in your life. Now, you can either build your life on the world, or you can build your life on the Word. If you want God to be the authority in your life, you have to build your life on His Word. Now, here's what will help you do that. Write down a commitment to accept the Bible as God's Word. I'm asking you to write it down. There's something real about actually putting it in writing. God, I'm going to believe your Word, whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether I like it or not. And then use that commitment to remind yourself daily that God's Word is the authority for your life. God's Word is what you're going to live by. And then you commit to becoming a lifelong learner of the Bible. One of the ways you can learn the Bible every day is through this broadcast. You can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org, and you can even subscribe to Daily Hope as a podcast. And by the way, if you're able to send in a financial gift to help support and expand this ministry, I would appreciate it. We are 100% listener-supported. So thanks for listening, and thanks for helping out. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.